Hi, welcome to your World Cup Daily. Andy Curran again with Leanne Sanderson, Michelle Haven. So another day in the history books. It was a big gulf in class though today between the Americans, the Swedes, and then Chile and Thailand.
Yeah, you know, I think today went as we expected. You know, I think we both, Michelle predicted 10-0, I predicted 6-0 with Chile.
I think all of us predicted 3-0.
He keeps saying that.
I don't remember that.
That.
I don't think you did.
Then.
Yeah, I think today's games went as we expected. You know, we definitely expected Sweden and America to win. So, they both did.
Once again,
we got it right. Yeah. Yay, we're winners.
We got confused again by the interpretations of the rules. VAR rearing its ugly head once again. The goal disallowed for Chile confused us. It seemed to be identical to the goal that won the game for Australia against Brazil.
Yeah, for her to be called offside when I don't think she definitely was. Oh, like she was offside, but for the goal to be, like she didn't touch it. So I just don't understand how it's different from when Sam's run in behind was.
But I think the decision in the first game, the Australia-Brazil game, was wrong. You know, I'm happy for you that, you know.
Oh, no, definitely,
but
yeah.
But I'm saying that, like, both goals, the rules are if the player's interfering, then it's offside. But this is the thing, like, in the game, the Australia-Brazil game, they gave it as a goal when Sam was clearly interfering with the defender and it put her off.
But the officials came out and said she didn't touch the ball, therefore it wasn't interfering. And the strange situation we have ourselves in is you've both played this sport professionally for, what, nearly 15 years?
Yep.
I've been watching this sport for about 30 years. And still between us, we're not quite sure what offside is anymore.
No, I'm so confused. I'm usually always onside. I don't think I was ever offside in my career.
Yeah. I'm not quick enough to be offside too much. But yeah, I mean, a lot of people have been tweeting this. You know, someone said, I can't remember who it was, so I'm not going to quote them, but they definitely said, you know, I've been playing this game for a number of years and I have no idea what the offside rule is.
I'm learning so much about football this week.
But the handball one,
so you know,
is the one that blows my mind, because for me, I always think we should go back to intentional, unintentional. I think that there's no grey area. Did they mean it? Did he or she mean it or not?
And there was no grey area. It was quite simple. If it hit the hand, it was a foul. If it was in the box, it was a penalty, unless it was the Scottish game against Japan.
Yeah, which is just upsetting, because that could have brought them back into the match. For them to be disallowed that goal or a penalty. We never know if they're going to score it.
I think in the situation as well, like, you know, in the Premier League, when they use VAR, this could be the difference between millions, you know, of pounds. And in this tournament for Scotland, you know, with their backs against the wall, like my dad always says, the teams always, with their backs against the wall, it's always harder for them for some reason, you know, conceding last-minute goals. Or, you know, you see the managers at the bottom of the league in the Premier League, they're always arguing about the referees, you know. And that's because their backs are against the wall. But I agree, it's like the inconsistency, and Shelley Kerr needs to kind of, she needs as many, like, not help, but decisions going her way as they can, and I definitely feel for them.
Is that the buzzword? Just consistency?
Definitely.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we're seeing decisions throughout the whole tournament. You know, I can't remember every single one because we've analysed so many, but we're seeing complete inconsistencies. We saw one today. We've seen them every day, you know. So yesterday, we didn't actually have a VAR.
It was a good
day.
So
it was great.
It was a great day for us.
We were buzzing.
I tell you, speaking of buzzing and something to change tack completely, I noticed yesterday American journalists are already starting to look at the tournament tree and work out the Americans' potential route to the final. And they've clocked that if they win the group and France win their group, they could potentially meet in Paris in the quarterfinals. And one or two of the journalists said to Jill Ellis, would you rather not finish top of this group and avoid the French? Which, one, is a huge sign of respect to the host, but two, a sign that maybe even the American journalists don't see this US team as being invincible.
Yeah, I mean, I think before the tournament, I think that's why the girls, like, you know, enjoyed that first game, because I think a lot of people have written them off. I wouldn't say the journalists in America have, not all of them, because the Americans, you can't, the moment you get complacent with them, they're going to absolutely annihilate you. So, you know, for me, I don't think it's a majority that think that way, but going into the tournament, I don't think people, you know, have seen that free-flowing football they expect. But what I don't, having played against them and playing with them, their mentality is what I always say separates them from everybody else. So I think they're going to be happy with how they've played.
Oh, most definitely. Now, that mentality that they have, that is why they are the best in the world. And they continue to be the best in the world because they have that. Like, no one else has that. And
then today they made 7 changes to their starting lineup for the other day. Now everybody, this is something I've never really seen in a tournament before, which I think it's great to be in a position to be able to play players. Because Jill Ellis actually received a little bit of stick on Twitter and in the media for not playing players in that first game that are new to the tournament. So, you know, I'm not saying she doesn't necessarily listen, but I think sometimes you have to let coaches, like, coach, and it's one game, let them make a decision themselves. That's why they're the coaches. Some of them I don't like that much, but that's why they're the coaches, because yeah. that's why they've been chosen.
Well, one defeat in 39, I think seven straight World Cup wins. Do you know the last team to avoid defeat against the Americans?
England. In the Sheba Leagues Cup.
Already through to the knockout stages. How are you feeling? What, a couple of days left until England's final group game? Job done as far as knockout stages are concerned. Are you happy with what you've seen?
Yeah, you know, I think it's just one of those things where I definitely would be fearful of France and the USA. I think they've started off the tournament. They've played every single game brilliantly. England haven't really started to get going yet. I think some of their players individually, some of them have had great performances. Beth Mead, Alex Green within the last game, I thought were fantastic. But I don't think we've necessarily gelled completely. You know, I think there's been some great performances, as I said. So for me, we've got 2 games, 6 points. You know, you can't ask for much more, especially against one of our biggest rivals, Scotland. You know, I think the girls did great. So I'm hoping that they can, you know, just take things on, and you never know what can happen. I think we are definitely contenders for this tournament, for sure.
What about Australia? A couple of days until your final game. 3 points on the board. 4 should be enough. A point against Jamaica, enough to take Australia through to the knockout stages. Would you take a point?
We'll take 3. We've got to come out firing. We have to. I think it's just the mentality that we want to have as well. You always want to win, and you always want to continue that form throughout the tournament. So the Aussies have to have that in their mind, and I don't think it's going to be anything different. They're going to want to come out, get the points, and then just look at the next game.
We'll get into that point in time again where they're going to turn the lights off if we don't go now. So we shall call that a wrap, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.